Hey, readers and writers. This episode was recorded with Squadcast, a web-based software that records studio-quality episodes from anywhere in the world. Squadcast records at each user's end and then uploads it to the cloud, so even if the call quality wasn't great at the time, the end file is always perfect. So that's a good thing. And it's never lost, which is even better. It's a paid service, so there is that. But for me, it's been worth it. If you're in the market for recording software, there's a link in the show notes to get a free trial. Now let's get on with the show. Hi, Laura. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Why don't you go ahead and tell listeners a little bit about yourself before we get started?
So my name is Laura Canby McCaskill, and I'm an author of a paranormal thriller and a romance thriller, Her Keepers and Fallow. I live in North Carolina, and currently it's really hot here.
I can imagine.
And I also started a little farm, so...
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. What do you have on your farm?
Right now, I have a pig named Sally. I have chickens and a rooster and Henry the turkey, Tortellini the tortoise, and my rabbits, Strawberry and Blueberry, and my puppies, Belle and Sebastian.
My goodness, sounds like you got a pretty full farm so far.
Yeah, and I'm sure there'll be more soon.
So let's talk about your books. Which one came first?
Her Keepers was published in 2012. That's the paranormal thriller.
Okay.
It's about a girl named Tess who was raised in an orphanage. And she comes to live in an old house, creepy house. And okay. It turns out that it's haunted. And the book goes mm-hmm. through who the ghosts are and why they're there. And I've gotten a lot of good reviews on it so far. So
awesome. And tell us about your second one.
Fallow was published in 2016. That's a romance thriller. And it follows Aiden, a girl who is kidnapped and sold into slavery in the desert. Goodness. And she's rescued by a band of freedom fighters. And she spends the book trying to find out if these freedom fighters are who they say they are and just trying to find herself. So,
okay. Yeah. Interesting. So you're with, let's start with, I guess, with your first one, the paranormal thriller. Was that the first thing you wrote, or had you been writing small things before then?
I had written small things before then. I started writing when I was really young. And it's just, I have all these notebooks that are just piled up, and it's got little short stories and the beginning of stories or parts of stories that I've never started or finished.
I hear you there.
So
I've got notebooks and notebooks of those.
My husband judges me a little bit, but that's okay.
So what gave you the push? Like what bit you to start your first novel?
So my mother, Judy Canby, was an author. She was a children's author.
That must have been wonderful to grow up with.
Well, she was very supportive. She was actually the one that started my interest in writing. And she would send out letters to traditional publishers, and she would get rejection letters. And at the time, I didn't realize how painful that was. I do now. But in 2008, my sister and I and my husband got a self-publishing package for her, and we published her first book that she had ever written called Mr. Book Story. And it's about the letters of the alphabet learning to work together to create words and stories. And it teaches children about their own self-worth. And then shortly after that, my mother had gotten pretty sick, and she passed away in 2010. And
oh, I'm very sorry.
I just kept writing. So, her keepers, it's kind of funny, kind of mirrors my life in a way.
Oh, really?
So this next part is going to be a spoiler for anyone who has not read Her Keepers. Tess moves in to this house and finds out that there are four ghosts inside. And the ghosts are actually her late brothers. And they were murdered. And the guy has come back to finish the job, which is Tess. He's after Tess, so they protect her. Now, in my own life, I also have four brothers, but three of them passed away before I was born. So I never knew them. And so part of the book was me just thinking about what my brothers would have been like, you know. That was the fun part of the story, just making that up. And then the rest of it is just fiction that I made up to go along with it. So
so why did you choose the thriller aspect to go with the paranormal? Or they just kind of just all flow together and it just happen naturally?
Just kind of happened naturally. I sat down one day and started writing. I didn't have an outline. I didn't have a plan as to where I was going. Each chapter kind of caught me by surprise. Yeah, it just, that's what I ended up with. Sounds ridiculous. Wonderful. But that's how it happened.
Now, then moving on to the second book, how did things change for you working on book two versus book one? Like, did your process change or did you notice a change in your writing or anything?
So a lot of people have said that they've noticed a change in my writing with each book. They say that I'm getting better, which I love. It's great.
That's always a good thing to hear rather than the opposite.
It's great to hear that. And Fallow just came to me one day. I had chewed on it for a while, thinking about different plots and different things that I could write. And finally, I just sat down and same thing with Her Keepers. I just started writing and that's what I came up with.
Awesome. I love that you're just free flowing, just letting it come to you. I feel like I've heard a lot from other authors that, like, I don't know, they say like the second, third, what I don't know, the post books after the first one are always harder to write. Did you experience that at all?
So Fallow is just a completely different book. I think I got bored out of the paranormal fiction and decided to do romance. But right after Fallow was published, my father passed away and I had a lot of things happening. And so here lately, I have found it hard to write. It's just very, I can't focus my mind enough to sit down and write. That has changed a little bit. Actually, last week I sat down and did one of my first outlines ever, and it felt good to get back into writing. So
I can imagine.
Hopefully that state, you know, that keeps going, but.
Do you find you have personality changes while you're writing versus not writing? And I don't mean that in a weird way. Well, maybe I do. I don't know. What I find when I can't write, I get grumpy and I'm always like, I'm a better person to be around when I have that creative outlet. And I've like done that every day. You understand what I'm trying to say? I'm not doing a very good job of it.
You're fine. No, I don't think that I get grumpy. Well, honestly, I think I'm grumpy just 100 days, you know, every day. But so there's really no change there. But for me, mentally, I'm happier, I think, when I write. I don't know if anyone notices that or not, but
At least you notice it. Congratulations for getting back to writing.
Well, thank you.
Or at least going back to the process of writing. You said you wrote an outline. Are you working on book three?
Yes. Trying to, anyway. It's slow going. I'm not going to push it. If it happens, it happens. But it's going to be a completely different, it's fiction, but it's going to have a mix of romance and adventure and thriller and all that good stuff in it. So
all the best stuff. When you're writing, what do you think is what's the easiest part for you when you're working on a story?
Getting lost in it. Oh my gosh. When I find my groove and I start working on a story and I'm writing and mm-hmm. I'm bringing things to life, it is so easy to just block the world out. I can stay mm-hmm. in it for hours and then I realize, oh, I should probably take a break.
That's awesome that you can do that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel like I can like an hour tops and I just get brain dead, but that is amazing. You can work that long on it.
Yeah. Her Keepers. It took me about a month to write once.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's amazing.
Once I finally got into it and knew what I wanted from the start, at least mm-hmm. it just kind of took off. So
that's awesome. How many words a day were you doing?
Oh, there's no telling.
I'm sorry. Yeah, this is probably like, I don't know. So hard to recall. But
yeah, this was back in the day. So, I don't know. There's no telling because I would.
How many hours a day were you writing?
2 to 3. I would take a chapter and just write, and then I would go back and edit it and mm-hmm. then move on to the next chapter. So
awesome. Speaking of editing, when you were done, did you go back and notice that you were editing for a certain theme that you didn't realize while you were writing?
A theme, no. But mm-hmm. I did notice, so I've been a pharmacy technician for almost 20 years now. And mm-hmm. one of my things is if I write or if I want to say something about a table in my story, mm-hmm. I automatically put tablet. So I have to go through my books and edit out every tablet in that. It's just
I'm sorry I'm laughing, but that's very funny to me.
Yeah, like it's just a habit that I have now. And mm-hmm. yeah, I don't notice it until I go back and I'm like, oh, dagnabbit.
I don't think I have anything quite like, I don't have like the table of tablet, but I have never met an and I didn't love. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so going back through in editing, it's just like, I'm just deleting ands mm-hmm. and ands and ands. And I never put the comma in. Yeah. So I always put the commas in too.
Yeah. It cracks me up. People that I work with, they're like, is this sentence correct? And I'm like, I don't know. Well, you're a writer. You should know. I have an editor for a reason.
Right. I'm a writer, not an editor.
Yeah. So, yeah.
What have been your biggest influences while you're writing these stories? Did you have anything you were reading or watching at the time that really influenced you?
Music actually helps me write. If I get into the habit of writing, I don't read, I don't watch anything because that will affect my flow. Mm-hmm. I guess that's mm-hmm. weird, but that's just the way
I
am.
I get it. If I'm reading something while I'm also writing, like my writing starts to take over, like what I'm mm-hmm. like what I'm reading starts to go into my writing, like the tone changes and stuff like that.
Yes. So I cut everything off except for music. I can have different types of music playing in the background and it kind of just relaxes me to where I can work. Mm-hmm. And I listen to a variety of music. There's not one thing that I listen to. So you never know.
Do you have different playlists for different like writing moods? Like you need to write the action scene today, so you have an action playlist, or the romance scene?
No, actually, this sounds so weird now that I'm thinking about it, but like, you know, I was listening to calming music and happy music when I was writing a paranormal thriller. Like, I don't know. It was just something that I liked at the time, like favorite songs or something. And it just relaxed me. And I was able to, the writing flow was was easy at that point. So
I'm so happy for you and envious at the same time. I have to be very specific. I cannot write I can't write a sad scene listening to anything other than like sad music.
Oh, wow.
Like sometimes it's really annoying that I just can't put on a random playlist and do something. But like the music for me definitely influences the tone of the work.
Mm-hmm. Luckily, I haven't had that problem. I don't know now. I haven't, written in so long. I may get on there and I'll be like, what is this? I'll let you know.
Okay, good. Now, have you gone the agent traditionally published, or are you doing self-publishing / hybrid publishing / whatever else is out there in the world?
So both of mine are self-publish. Okay. And there's a lot of learning involved in that. Mm-hmm. But hopefully one day I would like to be traditionally published.
Nice. How was that learning curve for self-publishing? Like, did it take you by surprise, or were you aware going into it that you're going to have to do a lot of work?
I had,
because of your mom,
no idea, about the self-publishing. And at first it really sucked. I'm going to be honest. Pointers I could give is to, just start your social media accounts and grow your following. That will help. Mm-hmm. And there were just different things that I had to learn about royalties and, you have to market your own book. They don't do that for you. Mm-hmm. You have the option of getting them into bookstores like Barnes and Noble and such, but you actually have to work to get them in there. But luckily I was able to create a good bond with the Barnes and Noble here in Asheville. And I've had several book events, book signings there with them. So,
ooh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. And I've gotten to meet a lot of great people through that. And, it's just been a fun experience. It was rough at first, but now mm-hmm. I know better.
You mentioned marketing. What's the best way that you found for you to market your work? What's the one that's had the most payoff for you?
So I'm going to be honest. I have not made, thousands or millions off of this. It's just mm-hmm. a hobby.
I think it's like 1% of writers make a lot of money. Most of us are broke.
So yeah, I'm broke. but just word of mouth and social media are going to be your best bet. And of course, the random book signing here and there. But if you don't have that platform, if you're not known out there, you're never going to reach anyone. When you self-publish and it's ready, you think, oh, well, it's just going to go out into the world. No, it's going to sit there until you bring people to it. There's no mm-hmm. way they're going to find it without you using algorithms and hashtags and all that good stuff. So mm-hmm. it's work.
Yeah. I used to work in website design, and what you're saying reminds me a lot of what we used to say to clients back then. This is like a decade ago. So back then it was like, just because you have a website doesn't mean you're going to sell a lot of mm-hmm. things. You have to, send people to the website and market yourself. Like, a website is just a place. So you have to do all the work for
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So can you tell us anything about what your plans are for the future, other than the one you're starting to work on?
So I have the one that I'm working on, and then mm-hmm. I am working also on a children's illustration book.
Nice. And are you doing the illustration yourself, or working with someone else?
I'm working with someone else. Her name's Gabriella, and mm-hmm. She does amazing work. And it is a Halloween themed illustration book. And I think children will really enjoy it.
My son would love that.
And hopefully in the future, I would like to start a series about rescue animals. Children edition.
Okay. I think I could get behind that. I that's a movement I very much believe in.
I have fostered animals for several years now and worked with shelters, and I even have, you know, I started a farm. I have rescued animals here, and I've seen and heard a lot, and I've learned a lot, and there's just not enough information out there to help all the animals. So start with the younger generation and teach them.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. I mean, we're not even doing much of our part, but we have a rescue dog. But yeah, it's just like teaching your kids about that process. Mm-hmm. And so they're aware of, you know, everything that goes on and then how things happen. And yeah, I agree with that. I like the idea of getting to kids earlier and having them understand the rescue animal process.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, the rescue series would be a happier version. I'm not going to, you know, just drill that into
them. Then the adult version.
My gosh. Yeah.
That don't need to scar them that badly.
The adult version has almost killed me. But I'm pretty excited about it. So I hope the writing flow continues.
Well, I think that sounds like a very exciting project. So I also hope the writing flow continues.
Thank you so much.
So before we pop off today, where can listeners connect with you online?
So you can find me online everywhere at LC McCaskill or my website, lauracambymccaskill.com. I also have a YouTube channel that is dedicated to rescue animals. I go around different rescues in North Carolina, South Carolina, and Tennessee, and I share how they got started, why they got started, and, you know, which animals they're taking care of at the moment, and tell some of the animal stories in hopes that, one, we can get some sponsorships to the rescues that I'm working with, and two, just to spread awareness to help an animal. So,
yes. My big bleeding heart agrees with that. That sounds awesome.
So if there are...
Thank you so much for doing that work.
Yes, if there are any animal lovers out there, please go subscribe. That would help me a lot.
I apologize. There's my big rescue dog in the background.
I love it.
The UPS man is here, and that's a threat to my safety.
Exactly. I know exactly what you're talking about. We had an electrician in the other day, and you would have thought it was the end of the world. So...
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, if it's anywhere from a squirrel to, you know, God forbid someone coming to the porch with a box.
Exactly. Yes. But he's doing a good job. So.
He's a very good boy. He's very big and he's very lovable, but he's not very smart.
Oh, well. I know a lot.
That's the best kind. And where can listeners find your books and buy a copy?
So, if you are in the Asheville area, Asheville, North Carolina, you can find them at both Asheville Barnes & Noble and Biltmore. They are also located in Grateful Steps Publishing Bookstore. And then they're online everywhere. You know, ebook, Amazon, Google, Barnes & Noble, anywhere you can think of, they're there.
So. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for stopping and chatting with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
Read and Write Podcast is edited and produced by Deborah Z. Barth. Music was provided by Lo-Fi Girl and can be found at lofigirl.com or on their YouTube channel. Audio effects were created by Red Octopus and Black River Phonogram. Show notes and previous episodes can be found at readandwritepodcast.com. And that's it. Thank you for listening to the show. If you like what you're hearing, make sure to rate Read and Write on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you have a suggestion for a future episode, drop me a line. I'm always open to suggestions. Also, did you know that Read and Write publishes 3 episodes a week? Check out the podcast's YouTube channel for Write With Me Mondays live streams and 30-second book reviews on Fridays.